Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast for the weekend of June 11, 2023. This week's sermon is titled, God is Able, by Executive Pastor Frank Donato.
You know, speaking about camp, it is the camp season. And I remember when I was a dean and involved in camp, we always had a campfire, and that was the most precious times at the end of the day. That's where the decisions are made. You have the campfire. And I tried sometimes having a theme every night at the fires. It would be fires in the Bible. One night we would talk about Elijah and the prophets of Baal and how he stood strong for God and talk about that. Another fire in the Bible, we would talk about Moses in the burning bush, how you can say yes to God against all odds against you. Peter in the courtyard, he denies Jesus and saying, we've all denied Jesus, but God is a God of second chances. And one of the fires we would talk about is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the blazing furnace. And so as we're wrapping up this series, Overcoming Doubts, I wanted to visit Daniel chapter 3. So if you have your devices or your Bible, turn to the book of Daniel. We're going to be going through chapter 3 and reading it. This story doesn't need much help, and so I'll hit the pause button sometimes and make some observations. But we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 3, starting on verse 1, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, to set up this chapter, the children of Israel have been taken captive and brought over to Babylon. Now, to kind of give you an idea of distance, Portia and Aaron just got back from Florida, drove back from Ocala, Florida, all the way to Marshalltown. Took 2 days, bless your heart, glad you did that. It was awesome with the grandkids. But it took 19 hours. So to get you that, I got on MapQuest, and this is where Babylon is on the screen, and where Jerusalem is. Now, you can't go right across because it's a desert. It's just you can't. And so even this day and age, it's a 27-hour trip. It's 2,000 miles. So you can see when these young people are being taken from Jerusalem. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar, this is all in 605 BC, he wanted to build his empire, so he took the best of the best out of Jerusalem, the Jews, and made them walk 27-hour drive over to Babylon. So you can see now they're in captivity. They took the best of the best, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and now they've risen and they've been trained in the Babylonian influence to rise and they oversee the affairs of Babylon. So when we see Daniel, we see a mixed culture. The way to conquer the region is take the best out of each region and bring them over and indoctrinate them. So King Nebuchadnezzar starts with this in Daniel 3. It's a mixed culture. The king decided to set up a statue, an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And so he called together all the leaders to dedicate the statue because it's a divided nation. It's a multicultural environment. And he's thinking, if people worship the same thing, we'll be a united nation. We'll have a national idol. So that's in his mind. And so let's enter the story, Daniel chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, and I'll put it on the screen. So he built this idol. He makes a proclamation, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he said, this is what's going to happen. When the herald loudly proclaims the nations and people of every language, that is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear, I'm calling it the band, okay? As soon as you hear the horn, the zither, the flute, the lyre, the harp and pipes and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will be immediately thrown into the blazing furnace. Verse 7 says, and as they were hearing this, they were falling down as soon as the music begins, except for who? Three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I can almost guarantee you they're in front of the statue because they have a place of prominence. The thousands of people are behind them. The band plays, and there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I'm sure they're praying. I pray that nobody notices that we're not going to bow down. I mean, we're right in front. We're going to be an easy target. Maybe it went through the mind, this would be a pretty good time to just kind of take a knee and kind of adjust your sandal a little bit. Might look like I'm bowing down. But there they are, and they kept standing. And I bet that's extremely awkward. And it didn't take long. Astrologers caught them. I call them tattletales. They said, King, we got some news for you. There were three men that did not bow down to you. And it says this. It says in verse 12, but there are some Jews who you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold that you, almighty king, have set up. It says when King Nebuchadnezzar was furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, the band, the flute, the lyre, the zither, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to bow down and worship the image I have made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be immediately thrown to a blazing furnace, become crispy critters. It's going to be over. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So the king lays out this verdict. He calls in these young men. And did you catch the question? The king has given these three young boys another chance. He says the questions, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? He's asking, who's going to be able to rescue you? And the commentators point out this is likely a rhetorical question. He's not looking for an answer. He's asking the question to really just make a point. He's saying, what God is going to be able to save you? There's no God going to be able to save you. And so really there's no answer was going to happen. He was just doing it for an effect. What God is going to be able to save you? Parents, sometimes we ask rhetorical questions to our kids. We say, do you really want another spanking, or do you really want to have a timeout? It's a rhetorical question. They don't say, well, I'll kind of check out on this one, Mom and Dad, but thanks for asking. We don't expect an answer. It's a rhetorical question. I asked Portia a rhetorical question a couple weeks ago. She came back from shopping. I said, did you buy anything? She gave me a rhetorical look, which means I'm not allowed to speak right now. And so they asked this rhetorical question. I asked my grandson, Gabe, a rhetorical question a couple weeks ago. I said, Gabe, are you going to save chips for your sister, or are you going to eat the whole bag? I was saying, you are going to save some chips for your sister. So you don't expect an answer when you ask a rhetorical question. So the king's not looking for answers. He's really not expecting an answer. He's just saying, no God will be able to rescue you from my hand. And he says, if you don't bow down now, there's no way out. Nothing and no one will be able to save you. But the king gets an answer to the rhetorical question. It's not supposed to happen that way. Let's look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we save is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. They're saying our God is able to rescue us. So as we enter the story, I want to ask you, can you say that with the same confidence this morning as a child of God? Can you say that our God is able? Now, I don't know what kind of furnace you're facing now or if you're even in a furnace, but let's say you're facing a furnace right now in your lives. Do you have that kind of belief that God is able to rescue you? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say that with confidence before the king. You can feel the heat in the story that they're facing from the furnace and the rage of the king on their backside, and they pause and say, our God is able to rescue us. But you know, as I look people in this room, I think a lot of you can say that quite boldly. Because a lot of you have the season of life. You've been through a furnace. You've been there, bought that, bought the t-shirt, and brought it home. And something happens when you are in the furnace, and I just have a hunch. A lot of you can say the same confidence that God is able to rescue because God saw you through the furnace that you have faced. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said it with confidence before the king. Our God is able to rescue us. And I know a lot of you are feeling the same way today, so I want to do kind of the old-fashioned church thing. I want you to give you time to testify on that. If you've been through the furnace, and you can say it right now to be an encouragement to others, our God is able. The same way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to ask you to stand and keep standing just in a brief moment. The reason you're standing is because you've seen it in your life, and you proclaim it. Now, I'm going to have you stand, and that might seem uncomfortable, same way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego seemed uncomfortable when they stood in front of the crowd. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. If you believe, as you went through the furnace, you can now say, and this is a testimony for everybody else who's still kind of there, and they don't know if God's going to rescue them. This is a time for you to testify, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I'm going to say the first phrase. If it is applied to you, will you stand and keep standing until I'm through the list? Okay, here's the first one. Would you stand if you believe that God is able to heal me from sickness and disease? Would you stand? Keep standing. Well, I didn't expect that. Okay, go ahead and sit down and we'll maybe do some more. Okay. Would you stand this morning if God is able, you can say God is able to mend a broken marriage. Will you stand right now? If God is able, then keep standing. Would you stand with these individuals if you believe and you've seen it in your life that God is able to remove overwhelming guilt? Would you stand and keep standing? Would you stand if you can testify that God is able to bring life to a barren womb? Would you stand? Would you stand with this group if you believe and you saw that God is able to provide for me when I'm laid off? Would you stand with the group if you believe that God is able to return a prodigal son in your story or a prodigal child? Would you stand with a group if you have seen that and believe that God is able to comfort me when I grieve? Will you stand? Our God is able, amen? Our God is able. You can go ahead and have a seat, please. See, whatever situation, and I love their simple statement of faith. A simple statement of faith, they say the words, our God is able. So I want to give you a chance now to say those four words, I think, our God is able. These four words, our God is able. So now I'm going to be Nebuchadnezzar. You guys be you. You're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm going to ask you a question. And if you believe that, I want you to say with your outside voices, our God is able, okay? So I'm Nebuchadnezzar. Here's the first question I'm asking you. What God is able to soften the hardest hearts?
Our God is able.
What God is able to bring peace to a home full of conflict?
Our God is able.
What God is able to give purpose to a confused life?
Our God.
What God is able to forgive the deepest and darkest sins? That is right. Our God is able. Now I want to say in truth, some of you are rolling your eyes right now. You're saying, I am not there, Frank. I mean, I thank you for the encouragement, but I'm in this fire and I don't see God. God is silent and you've been waiting a long time for him to come through and he just hasn't yet. But I'm impressed with these three men, their faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were wanting God to rescue them, can I say, almost all their lives? Remember, they were taken from captivity when they were very young men. And they marched the baton death march all the way over to Babylon. And I'm sure they were praying as they were brought from into exile, into slavery in that route. I'm sure they prayed, God, will you rescue us? But God didn't. And then when they heard about the statue being built, I'm sure they prayed every day when they're making that construction zone there, God, will you deliver us from this thing? And God didn't. And then when they were standing there, I'm sure that instant once the band played, I'm sure they prayed, God, we're going to stand, but make blind everybody's eyes like you have done in the past, and we're going to stand and pray that nobody notices. Will you do that, God? But God was silent. And then they're before the king, and the king is giving the verdict. I'm sure they were praying, God, just change his heart. Let the man's heart change, and we can go back just as normal, but God didn't. And all these things, they were asking to be rescued all their lives, but God was silent. Maybe you still have faith, and you know, it's difficult when you're in the furnace where God says, wait. It's a long time for the wait, and sometimes just our human thinking, we want to hit a rescue button. This picture is a rescue button, and you can push that button down, and God's going to come to the rescue. Okay, that's the way we think God ought to work when we're in trouble. Push the rescue button. God will come and help us whenever we're in need, whenever we're in deep crisis. Imagine if we can push this rescue button and God would come through. You push the button and God shows up, makes everything okay. And that's the way we think it ought to be. Well, I saw a couple commercials where it's called the Trunk Monkey. And you push this button, and the monkey comes to rescue. So bear with me. This is a Frank humor thing. Go ahead and see the videos, please. Watch the two videos. Trunk Monkey. I'm glad that Carrie's coming back next week. I'm just saying. But you know, that's what we think it ought to be, right? We think that God is our trunk monkey. Whenever we need help, we push the button, he comes to rescue us. You don't have to wait. Just push the button and he'll show up. Everything's going to be fine. No faith required. But when you're being tried and the trials comes, that's when you're most tested. And so when you're waiting to be rescued, your faith is tested. And that's what it talks about in the book of James. And some of you are experiencing right now, you're in the furnace. I remember a few years ago, I was on staff at Pikes Peak Christian Church. One of our beloved elders was named Wayne Hinkle. He was married to Edie Hinkle, and everybody loved Wayne. He's just such a great elder. One day, Edie decided to paint their living room, went to Home Depot, got a lot of buckets of paint and everything for that, and tarps. She has it in the back seat. Edie is driving home with the paint. She looks back, and she swerves, and the car rolls multiple times on the highway, and she dies instantly. And I remember sitting in that living room that early evening as we're gathered together, the leadership, and everyone is in shock. And the church, when they heard the news, was devastated. The funeral was huge. But I'll never forget, Wayne at the graveside said this to me, Frank, now I know my faith is real. And that's a statement. Can you say that when you're in the furnace? I know that my faith is really real. I don't know what you're up to, God, but I can still say that. So let's look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How could they withstand that fire, that test? Well, I think what they can pull through is this. First of all, faith is the foundation to their lives. Now, we always say that we want to raise healthy families, and we want there to pursue God. Another value is we want you to have spiritual movement. So as they're growing up, they're pursuing God, and they're learning more about God, and they're in their way. As young boys, I'm sure they were taught the truths about the one and only true God. And since they were little, they studied the stories of their ancestors, called the Old Testament. They knew God. We know God. Pursue God. They knew God, and they pursued God, and they knew the same God that Moses served. They knew the story that God rescued Moses because the Red Sea was in front of them. The Egyptian army was coming down their backs, and they think certainly that if God is able to rescue Moses, God still can do the same for me. They knew the story of David. God can rescue David. That David stands before Goliath, and he just has a handful of stones and a slingshot. They know that the same God that rescued David can instantly come and rescue them in this situation. They knew the story that God rescued Elijah. He was standing in the front of prophets of Baal, 400 false prophets, and God rescued him, and they knew that the same God there can save us. They knew the God they served, and God was a foundation of their lives. That's why we want you to pursue God in the Word. And I think there's a few reasons for that. First of all, I think the first reason that they were be able to stand this test of faith is because they had each other. Three, they weren't alone. They experienced life, and we are a family of God. Amen? And when we have troubles, we come alongside of each other. When someone is tested, other believers around you will come alongside you. When the winds and rains hit you, you don't face the trials alone. You see, they weren't alone. And it's easier to be around a band of people when the trials come and the furnace comes. You know, I love this next statement, that God is able to rescue. But the next statement is even more incredible. Let's go for it. Verses 17 through 18. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, I want you to take your highlighters if you have your tablets with you or your phone. Underline, even if he does not. Take your Bibles right now and get a pen or pencil and underline those three words. Even if he does not. We want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Even if he does not, we will not serve your gods or worship the image. I love that defiant faith. They're saying, I'm going to worship you, God, even if things don't add up right now. Even if things in my life don't make sense, I'm still going to follow you. Even if I don't have the answers, even if, God, you say a hard no. I want to have a faith like that. I'm still on my journey to have a faith like that. I still want to pursue God to have that faith like that. And it's hard for all of us because somehow we think if God could, he should. That's the way we think. That's the default we go to. If God is able to rescue, then God should. And that's the rules we think. If someone can, they should, right? And if God is God, why doesn't he? And so that's the tension I live in and we live in as believers as we pursue God. God is able to do it, but then why hasn't he? I don't have all the answers. I don't think I ever will. But I do have the example, praise God, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3. Three men don't have the answers, but they have that faith that not only is God able to save them, but God is able to make the right choice. They have this faith in God, no matter the outcome will be. They have an even if kind of faith. And even if kind of faith, I want that. I want to hold on to that when I am in the fires and in the good times. And I want you to have that as you pursue God and you mature and you read the Word and you hear the stories. You walk away with that even if kind of faith. That God, we have faith in you. And then sometimes we think, You know, if you do this, God, then I'll believe. I mean, sometimes we do that. If you make my dreams come true, well, then I'll believe. I have an even if faith. I'll worship you and serve you, God, if this situation plays out. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego had a different kind of faith as they pursue God. It's an even if kind of faith. And can you and I say that? Can you say, I know that God, you are able. God, I know you are able to turn my husband around and to be the spiritual leader of the home. I know you can do that. But even if it doesn't happen, God, I want you to know I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to be committed to you. Can you say that? God, I know that you're able to save me from my sickness and disease. But even if you don't, I still will worship you openly every day. Or God, I know you're able to help me provide for me a better paying job, but if you don't, I'm still going to drive my 1997 Ford Fusion around. Do you have that even if kind of faith? Do you have that kind of faith? So what I want to do now, I love mornings. And sometimes I just like music play as I read scripture. I want you gals to come up. And this is what I want to do. We want to sing over you. Just spend time with God. Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Because do you have that even if kind of faith? Do you have faith in him? Can you trust that he knows better than you do? And at the end, he will prove to be worthy of our confidence. I want you to meditate and come to the realization of your faith that you are God, I am not, and you are God alone. So let us sing over you right now.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God. Time began. You were wrong.
have kind of faith. So three men have the confidence. God is on the throne, and he can be trusted. Let's finish the story. Verse 19. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He said to King Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. The king Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men tied up that threw in the fire? They said, yes, king, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, there's four men walking in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like the sons of God. Who was that fourth man? Most commentators agree, and I agree with the commentators, that was Jesus. That was Jesus standing with them in the fiery furnace. And I wonder what kind of discussion they had. You know what I mean? They must have had some conversation. Maybe Jesus says, boy, sure is hot in here, boys. I don't know what kind of conversation they had. But I know if it was the Son of Man, I know Jesus would have said, hey, guys, I'm proud of you. All heaven is applauding right now. Every angel up there is applauding. Maybe they bowed down to the fourth man. I mean, I would, if it was Jesus Christ, maybe they bowed down in a matter of seconds. Here's the thing. The worst thing in life that has happened became the best thing because they met Jesus face to face in the fire. There's a fine line in life between the best things in life and the worst things in life. Keep your eyes on the fourth man, because if you're a child of God, when you're in the furnace, you are never alone. You are never alone. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to God, Father of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's commands, and they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. And so at the end, the boys got a promotion and probably a raise. But here's the most major thing. You have a king now worshiping the King of Kings. And I want to say, if you're in a furnace, just be aware, people are watching you. And it's time when you're in the furnace, because you're pursuing God, to give God the glory in all things. It says, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Maybe just God exists, not to make your life comfortable and to bring yourself comfortable, but he exists is to bring glory through you to him. When you're waiting, I just want to say, people are watching. And when you're waiting to be rescued, your eyes need to be on Jesus, because there's a tremendous opportunity for you to give glory to God. And maybe, just maybe, God's primary purpose for our lives is to not to make you happy, not to make me happy, not to make you comfortable or me comfortable. The primary purpose in our lives, maybe, just maybe, is to bring glory to himself in all things. Amen? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So I want us to now just stand as we close our moment together and our message to give God the glory and just say, God, I give you all the gratitude, because, God, I want to go there. I want to have this even if kind of faith. Let's lift our voices and make it a testimony for everyone else of our faith this morning.
All my gratitude.
God, you will not rescue. I'm going to have an even if kind of faith. I'm on that journey. I hope you will pursue God to be on that journey also. I have just a couple announcements before I let you go. This is Paul and Kathleen Schwark. You're over here. 72 years of marriage. This is not their 72. They're over here. Congratulations. We thank you that you're faithful to each other and you've pursued God all your life. Now it's for the benefit of others right now. It's not 72 years old, it's 72 years of marriage. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your, and I was saying to them, I was saying, you could have celebrated your anniversary and not come to church, take your sweetie out, but they're giving their first fruits to God first. Amen. Amen. I want to sit down just for a second. This will be brief. We have junior hires. The van leaves at 1:30 today. We have 17 junior hires for that. Let me give you a report of our youth minister. David Chase's last day was June 1st. And since then, we've met with the youth coaches two times. And we have a plan for the summer. We have two events, and you'll see this coming out this week, and we'll put it in print and social media. June 21st, we're going to have a thing here for the youth juniors and senior hires, July 27th. And so the youth coaches are planning this out. There's youth coaches that stepped up to do Sunday school right now. The O'Briens have Blake. Blake and Gabby O'Brien, they're teaching Sunday school right now for the kids. And for the backup guy is Justin Curtis, so there. And we have camps this summer. So what I'm saying is we're formulating a plan for our junior and senior hires. But will you pray for us? Right now, we're constantly seeking the Lord, and the elders meet just about every week of what God is leading us into. Will it be part-time? Will it be full-time? Will that person emerge from the congregation, or will we have to do a nationwide search? But we're really looking at the values. If our value is raising Christ-like families, then it better be pretty high priority for us. So I'm saying we are pressing in on God. It's just we haven't pushed the pause button. So will you pray for the leadership as we go and as we talk to the youth coaches? In short, let me tell you the youth coaches. So if you're in here, do the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thing just for a minute. Dirk, if you're in here, Dirk Keelman, would you stand? Gabby O'Brien, she's there. Jody Ash, if you're here. Laura Parent, Melissa Curtis, Scott Carnahan, Steve Hook, and Scott Joanna. So are you any of you here? They're probably busy back there. Let's give them a hand of appreciation. You guys rock. Thank you, buddy. So be praying for that as we're just continually, we got to deal with it, and because that is a high priorities of building healthy families. So be in prayer. Let me pray, and then you'll be dismissed. Lord, wow. Thank you for the scriptures of old. Thank you, Lord. We pray as we leave this place that we can have an even if kind of faith. You are God alone in the good and bad, and we proclaim you as Lord. So, Lord, thank you for those encouraging words from three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for so many years ago. So, Lord, be with us. Pray that we can be the church wherever God calls us this week. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. Okay, thanks for coming.